Good evening, family. Good to see all of you back tonight. Things are flying out of the pulpit at a rapid rate. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6, if you want to turn over there in your Bibles, where we'll spend a little bit of time. We're actually, you know, we've been going through this Trailblazer series out of the book of Mark, taking one lesson from each chapter as we go through it this time around, and we're six chapters in. Just as way of reminder, this is all, So we look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, where it talks about in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered, talking about Jesus. So we're looking at each instance in each chapter, and so far we've seen from chapter 1 that we're operating with a very specific authority as we're living on this earth. Chapter 2, that we're called to be hope bringers to people in this world who really have none. Chapter 3, doing right according to God's standard and not man's standard. Chapter 4, don't panic. Last week we talked about taking advantages of opportunities and being engaged with our community that we find ourselves in. So the discussion so far has centered around how we live, how we operate with our fellow man. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different and add to the mix the idea of alone time. It's something that we see Jesus engaging in, but before we get all excited about, hey, yeah, I see justice, he's like, really? I can be alone? No, son, you can't. That we're not talking about alone time strictly for the purpose of selfish reasons, but being alone in order to be developed and strengthened by God in our relationship through prayer. And it's kind of a weird question to ask, right? Have you ever stopped to actually think, to ask the question, why did Jesus pray? I mean, he is God in flesh. What would be the purpose of it? Which, of course, leads me down several unproductive rabbit trails. The one rabbit trail that I got on today with some of the area preachers as we were talking, we were just kind of laughing and joking around, and I said, well, did Jesus end his prayers? Within my name I pray, amen. You know, sometimes I think we look at Jesus in the light of him as God, forgetting that there's certain aspects of this life, namely that he is God in flesh, he is man, having to deal with all of the different difficulties and everything else that is out there that we face on a regular basis. And I came across this quote by the man named William Carey that I wanted to share with you this week. William Carey was a 1600s Indian missionary, and he is quoted as saying that prayer lies at the root of personal godliness. Personal prayer lies at the root of personal godliness. And we see this as a major aspect of Jesus' life, that he wanted to be pleasing to God, and he was concerned about his godliness. Yeah, and the one way that he can ensure godliness is to be in constant communication with the Father. And second, because he wants to be pleasing to the Father, he even will say that my food is to do the will of him who sent me, right? Because he wants to be pleasing to him, this continual communication with the Father was an essential part of his life. If you look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, we get little clues throughout the gospel. As we see Jesus in a personal prayer moment. Luke 5 says he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. These little one-liners are found in the gospel where you're reading through a story or something that's happening in Jesus' life, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, where's Jesus? Oh, he's in the wilderness praying by himself. This was his pattern. This was his practice, what he was engaging in. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And then by the time we get into Mark chapter 6, in verse 46, this is after he's about to, or actually I should say, before he's about to walk on the water, he puts the disciples in a boat, tells them to go ahead to the other side, and he sends the crowd away. And after he sends the crowd away, verse 46 says, he left for the mountain to pray. And so we see Jesus engaging in these personal moments of prayer where he is absolutely alone, just he and the Father in doing it. And I want us to notice every time we see Jesus engaging in this type of prayer that it is not often how we find ourselves where we're like, man, we really need to pray right now. Where it's a moment of crisis or there's some huge big decision that's coming down the pipe that we feel like we're being pressured into talking to the Father about. But that isn't the case with Jesus. This isn't a time of crisis for him. This isn't a time of a big decision to be made in these moments when we see him going off by himself to pray, but just continuation of an ongoing conversation with the Father as he continues to seek his will in the life that he's living right there. And I think it would be really easy for us to speculate, what did Jesus pray about? The Gospels don't tell us a lot of what Jesus prayed about. You know, we get the scene in the garden that Jared had mentioned to us when we were around the table where we get the specifics of that prayer. As he's asking the Father for a different way for the salvation of mankind. But we don't often get to hear what Jesus is talking to God about. You know, it would be interesting to be a fly on the wall in those types of scenarios if we could go back in time. But what I came to the point was, does it matter what Jesus was praying about in these moments of personal prayer time, of alone time with God? Does it really matter? Or does it, what really matters is that Jesus is showing us the part of the path that we're supposed to be walking is regular conversation with God. And that's what really matters. And, you know, we could end the conversation tonight with, well, of course, Jesus did it. Thanks, Jeremy. We should too. And we can move on from there and be happy and live the lives that we thought or that we think we ought to be living. Or we could even say that Jesus thought it was important, so should we. And I think if we do that, we're missing the point of what Jesus is showing us in how to live lives down here. I think the point is, and this is going to shock us, there's value in prayer. That's the main point, all right? That's not shocking to us. For those of us that have been Christians for any period of time, it's not a shocking revelation that I'm presenting to you. But do we recognize how vital private prayer is? I'll ask you a question. Answer it to yourself. Is the only time that you pray when we're together on Sundays and Wednesdays? Because that's not the pattern that we see Jesus establishing for us. That private prayer life, there is immense value in it. And I think as we look at all of the different aspects of it, is that we are prone and we are tempted to make prayer into this religious duty. Okay? Well, we have friends in all walks of life, all different religious backgrounds, different spiritual understandings and everything else, and that to some of them, prayer is a duty. You know, it's something that is assigned and something that they have to do at certain times of the day and at regular intervals, and it's a rote aspect of how they are praying. And it's not personal, it's their duty. And I think at times, if the only time that we are praying is when we're here on Sundays and Wednesdays, that's what prayer has become to us, is a duty. We do it because we're here and we have to, because the guy up here isn't going to stop whether we want him to or not. But consistent private prayer lifts prayer out of the doldrums of duty, and it brings it into this unifying relationship with God that it's meant to be, that God wants it to be as he's in this relationship with us. And it becomes the foundation of our personal godliness. Okay? It becomes a means of retraining our brains in terms of how we view God in our relationship with him. Let's look at Psalm 139 real quick. By the way, we sang some of Psalm 39 tonight and some of the songs that Todd led for us. I don't know if he did that on purpose or it was just the way it fell out. But Psalm 139, let's just deal with the first four verses for a second here. And this is David writing, and he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. And we'll pause there for a moment here because David is reflecting on the knowledge that God has of his creation, in particular of David himself. So let me ask the question. When you read what David wrote there, Does it make you uncomfortable thinking about that God knows what you're going to say even before it comes out of your mouth? Does it make you uncomfortable that he searches and knows us as individuals? And it might make us uncomfortable that God knows everything about you, and that there's nothing hidden from him in the lives that we live, because he knows it all. And so we start to feel uncomfortable about it because we feel like our lives aren't necessarily in line with his will and with what he would want. And so anytime that we do pray, we feel hypocritical, right? Because as we're going to him, we understand our foibles and our mistakes and our sin and everything else. And we know that God knows everything, but we don't want to talk about it with him. Right? It's kind of like when you're having a disagreement with your spouse or your best friend. And you know that there's something there, and you know that it isn't going away anytime soon, but what's the best way to deal with that? Don't talk about it, of course. That's how all relationships are mended. But that just is not fulfilling what God is calling this relationship to be. And I don't know. Maybe we are being hypocritical if that is the mentality that we're taking when we're approaching God in private prayer. That we're just not going to talk about the stuff that he knows about and it'll be all right. But if we're looking at private prayer, as Jesus is guiding us down this path, as private prayer as the foundation for personal godliness, verses 1 through 4 should be some of the most comforting things you've ever read in your life. Does it comfort me to know that God knows me and that he searched me? He knows when I sit down. He knows when I rise up. He's paying attention to me. He understands my thoughts. He understands who I am. And he scrutinizes the way that I'm walking and what I'm doing in this life. And he's intimately acquainted with everything that I have ever done. That's how well God knows me. That should comfort us. It should help us in an understanding of who God is and his and what he wants to be in our relationship with him. You jump down to the end of the psalm and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." You know, sometimes we might be a little bit afraid to make a statement or a request like this that David makes. We're attempting to hide something. We're attempting to keep something from being known or whatever it is. And so we're afraid to actually make such a bold request like David makes here. And we look at this and go, wow, how awesome is David that he has that much courage to ask God to make this search and inquiry and to show him all of these different things. Are we that courageous? Are we as courageous as David to be able to go before God and make that same request? Because if verses 1 through 4 are some of the most comforting things that we've ever read, then verses 23 and 24 should be following right in line with that same attitude and thought process. That we actually would welcome the search. You know, it's not, God, look over here and you know, in my relationship with you and this private time in our conversation, I want you to just focus solely on these areas that I know are perfectly good. I welcome a search into every area. And you turn me into what you would have me be. Because this is the only way I'm going to know about it, is when it's revealed to me through you, through your word, and the way that you're dealing with me. There is nothing threatening here. There's just a deepening of relationship with the Father on a personal level. And so when we see Jesus slipping away in these moments, or telling the people to go away as he sends away the crowd so that he can go have these moments of prayer, do I think that Jesus is having an ongoing conversation with God about everything that's going on in his life? Yes, I do. Do I think that he's welcoming the same search that David welcomed in Psalm 139? Yes, I do. Because Jesus understood that if he was going to be godly, it started with conversations with the Father. And if Jesus is like me, tempted in all things, unlike me, yet without sin, then if maybe I'm the only one in the room that is constantly thinking about things and has things rolling around in his brain on a regular basis that I just need to talk to somebody about. And the Father is there, ready and waiting to have these conversations, to where you get those moments You ever had those moments where you wake up in the morning, you start a prayer, something happens in life, and you got to go fix it, and you come back and like, to be continued, Father. go deal with this, and then you come back and continue the conversation with him. Those are the wonderful times of life that we get to share and get to have as Christians, as God's children. Because as a loving Father, he wants to talk with us. He wants to have this conversation with us. That's the path Jesus walks. That's the path he calls us to follow. Let's be a people in ongoing, constant communication with the Father. Don't let a crisis be the only reason that you go to God in prayer. Don't let a big decision be the only reason that you go to God in prayer. Go to him because you love him and you enjoy the time with him and spend that time alone. It is important for us to spend together, yes. But there's also an importance of personal time that we spend with the Father. We're going to stand and sing the song Todd selected for us. And during this time, we want to encourage anyone that's here tonight that is feeling burdened, feeling as if living life has become a difficult thing for you because of sin, temptations that you're facing. You need help. You need the prayers of the church. You're seeking forgiveness through repentance. But also, it's an opportunity for those that have not become a Christian to take that step of faith, making the confession of Jesus as Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can help you in any way tonight, let us know while we stand and sing. Todd.